Sri Guru, Sri Yut Parikamalam, Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sakrijatam, Sahagana Raghunatham, Vitam Tham Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam, Vitamscha, He Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Rate Vrindavanishvari, Vrishabhanu Suta Devi, Pranamami Haripriye, Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadata, Sri Vasudi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse is chapter 5, text 21. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So this verse and the last verse describe the symptoms of a liberated person. In the verse, the first word, vaya sparsheshu, in external sense pleasure. So sparsha means senses, and especially the sense of touch. So the five senses are sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. So each one is connected with an element. Air is connected with touch. Sky or ether is connected with sound. Fire is connected with shape or form. Water is connected with taste. And earth is connected with smell. And then if you look in the purport, the word for word, the next word is asakta. So if a word's got an A on the front, then you can, it gives the opposite meaning. So you have asakta with a short A, and then the opposite is, if it's got a line on the top, that makes it a long A. So one means attached and one means not attached. So for example, in that famous verse 7.1, I'll just read it. Maya shakta manaparta, mai asakta. Mind attached to me. So asakta means attached, and asakta means not attached. So Yamunacharya was quoted in the purport saying how he's enjoying devotional service so much. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing every new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. So that's not the reaction that most people have. Most people in our society, when they think of pleasure, sex pleasure, they get the opposite reaction. They're looking forward to it, or they're thinking it will be very nice. But Yamunacharya's lost completely all his taste. It's said that if one can enjoy sweets, he has no desire to eat mud. Why would anybody give up sex life unless there's something better? So in different places in the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned about lust. I'll read the one from chapter 3:39. This is what Krishna says about lust in chapter 3. The translation is that the living entity originally has pure consciousness. Our pure self is really full of wisdom. And so it's written like this: thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So it's described, if you have a fire, a wood fire, no matter how much fuel, no matter how much wood you put on it, the fire will burn it all. In the same way, no matter how much sense pleasure you try to give the senses, still they want more. They are never satisfied. So Prabhupada is describing, although you can say, yeah, but what he described, it's the highest material pleasure is sex pleasure. It gives the greatest material pleasure. But so if it gives pleasure, then why is it bad? Why is Yamunacharya saying, I spit at the thought? Why is Prabhupada saying you should follow four principles? You should avoid illicit sex. If it gives pleasure, then why is it considered that we shouldn't do it, that we should avoid it? Because this is what keeps us in the material world. This attachment. So there is some feeling of happiness there, but it's this, because it keeps us in the material world, in the end what you get is repeated birth and death. So it's short-term happiness, but long-term misery. So it doesn't weigh up. If you put it on the scales, it doesn't weigh up. In chapter 18, there's three kinds of happiness described. Happiness in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of passion, and happiness in the mode of ignorance. So happiness in the mode of passion is described like this. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport: a young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. That's quite a heavy statement. Is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. If sex is really that which gives people pleasure, which brings happiness, then according to that logic, prostitutes would be the happiest people in the world, but they're not. There are a lot of them are on drugs because they're having such a miserable existence. So in going back, looking at another kind of happiness, in 266, chapter 2, text 66, Krishna was saying, how can there be any happiness without peace? So instead of trying to agitate the senses to enjoy, to get pleasure out of sense contact with the sense, I mean, when I say senses, I mean the ears, they want to listen to nice music, for example. So then people go to some discotheque, listen to some music, or the eyes want to look at some nice film, so they go to the cinema, try to enjoy looking at a film. The tongue wants to taste, so they go to the restaurant or the hamburger restaurant. But they don't think to think what the hamburger is actually made of. Hamburger is actually made of piggies. But which part of the pig that they take the ham from? It's the back end. So what they're actually eating is the back end of a pig. There are some people who say, you are what you eat. And if that's true, then why would people eat hamburgers? Who wants to become the back end of a pig? Anyway, people think they can be happy by going to these restaurants. And the nose likes to smell, so then it likes to smell nice smells like perfume. So they put perfume even in washing up liquid and washing powder. And the hands like to feel nice things. This is why people keep pets, like a cat, so they can enjoy touching the cat, stroking the cat. And then the culmination of this all is sex pleasure. But there's another kind of happiness, and Krishna is saying like this, how can there be any happiness without peace? 266. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. So it seems here like there's another kind of peace, that it's a different kind of happiness. So Prabhupada's explaining that disturbance is because people don't have an ultimate goal. If the goal of life is only to enjoy, and you know, some people think the goal of life is to enjoy, and at the end of life there's death, and after that there's nothing else. There are people who think like that. You get one life, you just got to try and enjoy as much as you can, because at death it's finished. And even if people try to enjoy, you can't force this happiness. So people try to do these things. They try to go to the restaurant and the cinema and try to get their happiness in this way. But it doesn't always come. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. But if there has to be a final goal for the mind. So if you know that the goal is to get back to Krishna, get back to Godhead, try to reawaken the relationship with Krishna, this loving relationship, this reciprocation with Krishna. And if you also know how to do it, then the mind is peaceful. There's a way to get peaceful. Oh, it's coming up next week. Coming next week. Let's have a sneak preview of the coming attractions. Bhaktaram yagita pasham savaloka maheshwaram surinam savabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. So next week, Krishna is going to tell how we can get peaceful, how we can feel peace in our heart. Well, I won't say it, because then it will spoil it for next week. Let's see what Burijan says. There's this book called Surrender Unto Me. It's written by Burijan. See what he says about this verse. He says, when the devotee becomes connected with the Supreme, he experiences unlimited happiness. Is there anyone who's interested in unlimited happiness? Would you be interested in some unlimited happiness? When the devotee becomes connected with the Supreme, he experiences unlimited happiness and loses all attraction to matter. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that just as a person eating sweetmeats has no inclination to eat mud, so a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure. So it would be like some scales. If the Krishna consciousness goes up, the attraction to matter goes down. It would be like this. if the Krishna consciousness go down, then you get more attraction for sense pleasure. So it's a way of knowing how far you are along the path of Krishna consciousness by how much you're detached from material sense pleasure. Of course, you can have some transcendental sense pleasure. That's different. But for material sense pleasure. So, has anybody got anything to add? Yes? Yes.
It's kind of, you know, when you read it, it's sort of, you know, it's kind of clear. At the same time, yeah, it doesn't need actually much explanation. At the same time, you can also say that, well, this is the way I kind of view myself. It's kind of a selfish thing.
So Yamunacharya is spitting at the thought of enjoying separately from Krishna. That he's disgusted with the thought that he's just trying to enjoy without Krishna. The thing is what's gross about it is that I'm an eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So something material is not going to make me happy. To try and enjoy the material energy, which is dead matter, to enjoy some material pleasure, that's not going to make the spirit happy. Only something spiritual is going to make the spirit happy. There was one devotee who was living here who was married before he was in Krishna consciousness, and then they became Krishna conscious, and he said, then they had got some children after that, and he said he could see the difference to have sex in Krishna consciousness and before. He was trying to, I can't remember what he said, but he explained the difference in it, that there was a difference. Home sex life, which is not contrary to, I've never been married in Krishna consciousness and had kids in Krishna consciousness, so I can't say how they, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said because he had experience of both, because they were already married, then he could feel the difference. Yeah. The thing is, why would you give up sex unless you've got something better? I remember Mahavishnu Swami was giving one class in outside in the open, was some ratiatra or something, and he said, "Do you think we're stupid that we would give it up if there's not something better? And do you think we're stupid?" I thought it was quite a good way to put it. So the idea is not that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, then when you're still in this transition phase, then it's some restraint. Some people think, oh, I have to restrain my senses. But it's not the idea that you get in a situation that you're in a bedroom with a nice lady or a nice man and you think nothing's going to happen, you try and bite on a piece of wood. And it's a bit stupid if you think you can stop it at that stage. Don't get that far. Don't get in the same room with some young lady or some man. Well, I suppose if you're married. But even then, some people sleep in separate rooms. Just you don't agitate the senses. One of my friends got married and her Guru Maharaj said, don't agitate him. Because it's artificial to think you can just artificially restrain it. The idea is to get a higher taste so that you're not interested in the lower taste. If you fill the heart so much with Krishna that there's no room for Maya, then you won't think about it. There are also things you can do, like not have a heavy meal at night, you know, don't take sweets. The brahmacharis are told not to take sweets in the evening, and don't sleep with a full stomach. There are certain things that help. Of course, don't sit chatting to two young ladies who you're attracted to, and I remember Taramakatu asked a question to Kadamakana Swami, what about at night? Then you have no control about your thoughts or your dreams, if you can get out erotic dreams. He said, you just have to tolerate. But what you can control, then what's helpful, that it may be helpful if someone's married, if they don't sleep in the same room. That they're thinking about other things, focused on other things. Ten extra rounds. Chanting your dreams, oh, that's nice. When I joined ISKCON, I was thinking four principles, that's too many, three's enough for this lifetime. And I thought, well, they're always going on about these four principles. Maybe I should just try it out, just see what it's like. I never tried it, so how would I know? So then I said to my boyfriend, I would like to try celibacy. And he wasn't very pleased about it. I said, I just want to try it, I just want to see what it's like. So and then after some time it becomes normal. Four principles is like normal. After you follow for some time, it's just like, especially if you live in a place like Radhadesha in the ashram, then 16 rounds and four principles is normal, it's the norm. So then it's much easier than in the transition phase. And in the beginning I was looking at the sannyasis thinking, well, they look happy, they seem happy enough. And according to the verse, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So I think I'll go for that. If that's on the menu, I think I'll have that one, please. So we'll stop here. The musicians will be coming soon. Thank you for coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai. I'm expert on my...